Welcome to this edition of the Million Dollar Mastermind Podcast. This is where we pick the brains of high achievers from all walks of life and get their hard-earned, real-world insights on winning. I'm your host, Larry Wydell. What platform do you make these, lend your opinion on these situations? What, you write a blog or you put on LinkedIn, or what platform did you using to where the word got out about?
TikTok. Yeah. No, TikTok was the big one. I do post on other platforms now and I'm starting to launch new channels. But yeah, TikTok was the big one for me. So I think in about 8 months, I jumped to 650,000 or something.
Really? And how long would these be? You in video talking through something? Is that how you would do it? Very simply, low tech?
Yeah, just camera set up at home. I have a guy who helps me with editing. So yeah, once every 2 weeks, I'll film a batch of these stories and people send me the content. That's kind of what's amazing about it. Is it really, in a weird way, it's kind of more low effort now than it was at the start because people send me stories. And so I just read them out and react to them. But it's amazing. The power of the personal brand, I've been quite amazed by in the last year because my videos get about 25 million views a month now, which is more than a lot of news channels. Like, it's amazing how much these brands can really help grow your business, but also you sort of get your voice out there and you know, what you stand for and what you believe. So it's been a journey these last of 8 months or so, for sure.
25 million?
Yeah.
Oh, these are numbers that are just hard to relate to, aren't they?
Yeah, it's wild. And you think it's just, and like, can you imagine a stadium of 25 million or like, think how many people that is. It's hundreds of thousands of hours of people watching me just kind of rant about bosses on. It's wild. It's a whole new world out there, and people in the States, it's Australia, it's South Africa, it's not just the UK. So it's been kind of wild when you actually break it down and think about the numbers.
But, you know, that's kind of like more than all of the people in all the stadiums of all the games of the World Cup or something.
Yeah. And think about think how much it costs to attract 25 million viewers to a TV show, for example, and this is just simply me and my video editor just talking in the kitchen of my flat, basically.
How long are these videos? What have you found is the most effective length for those TikTok videos?
So TikTok as a platform is definitely pushing longer form content. So TikTok started off like 10, 15 second, like fun reels. They're definitely moving in on sort of Instagram and YouTube and sort of take market capital, and that kind of push towards long form content, YouTube in particular. So about 2 to 3 minutes long now, each video.
Okay. And so 2 to 3 minutes would be the long form. And are you finding a better response from those than you had earlier on, or about the same?
Definitely. I think people do just buy into, I do a different types of content, but one, I talk about worst bosses and read a story out. Those definitely do best. I think it's important to try new things. You know, I posted an 8-minute one once and that did very well. So it's good to mix it up. But yeah, definitely the longer, the better. It seems to be going that way.
Actually, amazing that anyone could have that kind of spread or that kind of impact. And you said 8 months, all of this is a recent phenomenon?
Yeah. So maybe 9 now. I started end of March last year. So 9, I guess now.
Really? Now, how did you get recognized by Forbes? Was that for your digital media work, like top under 30 recognition there?
Yeah, so that was for my first business, Verb. So we were the class of 2020. So me and my business partner, you know, very honored, but we were assigned the class of 2020 for marketing, which was, a huge honor for sure. It was a very nice moment.
Does something like that, how big of an impact does something like that make? Does that lay the groundwork for, give you credibility as you start your green technology company, as you start with TikTok? Are these things all pretty much different?
Yeah. So I always describe it as moving the boulder. My second business is a hell of a lot easier. I mean, it's hard in a lot of ways, as all businesses are. It's a new space. But the knowledge that I have from my first business makes it so much more straightforward. And the profile I have, we raised funds for this first, for the second business. And the reason I was able to raise funds was because I had the credentials of the first business. You know, I would never have been able to do that for my first company. So yeah, it makes a huge difference. And it's about getting the boulder, removing, you know, the hardest point is day one, day two, day three. Those are the hardest times, the hardest pound to win or the hardest dollar is those first few that you win. And it just gets easier and easier and easier as soon as you get the ball rolling. And that's not to say it's ever easy, because I think that's the wrong word, but it gets easier. And so for me, it adds credentials, things like that, for sure. It's obviously a nice gratification for myself. It kind of tells me I'm on the right track, which I think is important as well, and kind of keeps you motivated. But I think it was a moment for sure. You know, we describe moments. I think people sort of recognized that was a moment where everyone went, oh, wow, they've got an actual business. That's not just a little hobby side hustle, whatever you want to call it. That's a legitimate business, and it's being recognized by a famous publication. So it was a very nice moment for sure. But I think those moments are important, because I think entrepreneurs in general are quite bad at recognizing how far they are. Because, and it goes back to everyone trying to win the week 1-0. They sort of go, oh, this week was good or this week was bad. It's like, actually, no, in a week, you'll have lots of small wins and lots of small losses. And as long as your wins outnumber your losses, you can take that as a win. Whereas if you kind of put it all or nothing, you're going to end up disappointed in a lot of weeks of the year, I'm afraid.
One little specific question about TikTok posts. How often are you posting? You say once every 2 weeks you get together and do a batch of these. How often do you roll them out?
Once every day. And that consistency is really important. If anyone's looking to grow on social, step one is just being consistent and not being too fussy, because your first content, I'll just tell you now, even if you're really proud of it, your first few efforts are going to be terrible. I look back at what I did 9 months ago and it's just cringy. It's so embarrassing. But I don't delete them, because I think it's important to kind of recognize how far you've gone. And I've no doubt I'll be sitting here in a year saying, looking at posts that I did this week going, well, that was embarrassing. I can't believe I was doing that. So there's a great phrase that I love, which I can't remember, one of the big marketing firms came up with, was you can't do your 100th without doing your first. And I really do buy into that. Sometimes you just have, there's no perfect time to do something. There's no perfect way to do something. Sometimes you just have to get cracking. And I'm a big believer in that philosophy.
And it's really hard to be good at anything until you do at least 100 of them.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I learned that early on. And now, when did you start your newsletter?
I started my newsletter end of last year, towards the end of last year, yeah.
So that was before the TikTok adventure.
So it was just after. So since TikTok's kind of blown up, I've started to establish new channels. So my newsletter's one I really enjoy doing, actually. I do like writing. It's not something I get to do too often at the moment. So I send a weekly newsletter giving career advice out to younger generations.
And what do you do? Are people, you're responding to messages that people leave for you, questions they're leaving for you? You're just a Q&A type thing?
Yes, you sort of start to find your voice. But essentially what I do is I pick out one of the stories that someone sends to me and establish a theme from that. And then I write a piece about, go to a little bit more detail, try to give people more exercise. I'm a big fan of practical advice. I think it's very easy to just say like, oh, quit your job or just do something you love and throw out cliches like that. But actually what people need is, here are the three ways exercises I do to work out what you would like to do. Or here's the process you should do to actually quit your job. It's things like that, which I think practical advice is often lacking online. And so my newsletter is my way to try and fill that void a little bit.
Yeah. And how do people get on your newsletter?
If you go on my LinkedIn profile or any of my social platforms, you should see the link there and you click on that and you can subscribe straight away and it's completely free.
Yeah. Fantastic. So where are you speaking from today?
I am in London, where I live, just south of the river in London.
Now, you have an affinity for Greece for some reason. And you speak passable Greek, as far as I understand. Where does that affinity come from?
So I spent 10 years of my childhood living in Greece. So when I was 2, my dad's job took us out there. So I lived there till I was about 12, 13.
Yeah. Any aspirations to living there more permanently in the future?
So, I mean, Greece, we go there every year with my family. The Greek islands are by far and away my favorite place on earth. It's just one of those locations that just feed your very soul. The food's amazing. The people's amazing. It's not a place I don't think I will, certainly not in the near future, I will live there. But it's a place I will never not go to, because I just find it the most incredible place on earth, really.
I've never heard the phrase, the Greek highlands. I've heard the Scottish highlands.
Sorry, the Greek islands, not the Greek highlands.
Okay, island. Yeah. I was going short-circuited there for a minute, yeah.
Yeah. The Greek kilts are not what you'd like.
Right. Well, I appreciate your time. I wish you the best in your new adventure. I'm looking forward to circling back and touching base with you in the future, because I feel like you're going to learn a lot of things. You're going to help a lot of people. And what would you say is the main pain you went through, or sacrifice, a price you had to pay? There's always a price you have to pay for success. What would you say, you look back, what is the biggest price, sacrifice, painful type things you had to force yourself to go through Or maybe you went through no choice of your own. It just happened and you had to endure it. What would you tell people?
It for sure is my personal life. I lost contact with friends who I'd been friends with since school. I lost contact with a lot of family. And I actually made a conscious decision to course correct. So it was about 5, 6, 7 years in, me and my business partner, we recognized that actually, you know, although we were on paper very successful from a monetary perspective, actually, we both recognized that this wasn't long-term, it wasn't worth it. And so for us, we made a conscious decision to spend more time with friends and family and all of that. And we've never regretted that decision. Even if you knocked a little bit off the valuation of the company, we decided that actually, because there's success, right? But what's the cost of success? And I think what the cost is an important decision and a question to ask yourself, because people go, I want to be a millionaire. And you go, okay, would you accept how many millions? How few millions would you want if you also got to do this and this with your life and enjoy that part? And if you'd be happy and all that sort of thing. So the cost of success is something I always get people to think about, because I've lived and breathed it and I know how important it is. So for me, I was quite lucky. I was able to course correct and save some of those relationships where I lost contact, but there were some I didn't. And that's a price I've definitely paid. So for me, I do think about that a lot and recognize the importance of carving out that time for you as much as it is for your business.
Great words of wisdom. I wish you nothing but the best. Ben, do you have any parting insight to pass on for all of the up and coming high achievers, motivated people who've been listening to us?
Yes, the working life has changed forever. And the entrepreneurs that are going to be the most successful are the ones who accept that and not try and keep it to the way things were. I think the next few years are going to change how we recognize work-life culture and work-life balance and what people want from their jobs. And I think the entrepreneurs and the businesses that are the most successful are the ones who are going to embrace that rather than just fight it.
What would the big distinction be in someone who embraces that versus someone who doesn't?
COVID tore up the rule book, right? Working from home and establishing remote working changed the rule book on how businesses work. And I'm seeing a real trend at the moment of, and a disconnect between teams and like what bosses and entrepreneurs and founders want. And people want, founders and entrepreneurs want people in the office. And a lot of people don't want to be in the office 5 days a week. I'm a big fan of hybrid working. I think that works best for all involved. But the businesses that are going to struggle are the ones who don't recognize the world has changed from what you were used to. And I think for me, the advice I try and give is the best entrepreneurs in the business kind of embrace change and go with the flow. If you try and fight it, you always lose out in the long run, I think. And so that's kind of my parting thought, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it appears to be a losing game to fight the way the world is headed. It's hard to win that fight by yourself. It's better to get yourself in the middle of where the momentum is and let it work for you rather than against you, I think. Ben, I wish you the best.
Exactly the same.
I'm amazed at your following.
Likewise, it's lovely to meet you.
I'm excited about what you've learned so far, and I'm excited about how you're using it to impact other people in a positive way. So early in your career, and so I know that's going to pay big dividends for you, so congratulations.
I really appreciate that. That's very kind, and thank you so much for having me on.
We'll look forward to talking down the road. Thanks so much.
Looking forward to it. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Million Dollar Mastermind. If you felt there were any valuable takeaways from this episode, please take a minute and leave us a 5-star review. Your feedback is important and really helps us get the word out to a wider audience. Remember, we have a valuable webinar that is absolutely free. Register for it right now at whitealumwinning.com. Thanks for listening.